And he is in a transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. This is Translations and Purports of Bhagavad Gita as it is by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
That was the verse, and this is the purport by Srila Prabhupada. A person acting in Krishna consciousness is naturally free from the bonds of karma. His activities are all performed for Krishna. Therefore, he does not enjoy or suffer any of the effects of work. Consequently, he is intelligent in human society, even though he is engaged in all sorts of activities for Krishna. Akarma means without reaction to work. The impersonalist ceases fruitive activities out of fear, so that the resultant action may not be a stumbling block on the path of self-realization. But the personalist knows rightly his position as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness. Because everything is done for Krishna, he enjoys only transcendental happiness in the discharge of the service, of this service. Those who are engaged in this process are known to be without desire for personal sense gratification. The sense of eternal servitorship to Krishna makes one immune to all sorts of reactionary elements of work. Om Gyanati Manandasya Garananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Vena Tasmai Shri Guru Vena. There's a principle enunciated by Rupa Goswami which says that to give up work or to give up anything in the form of renunciation for spiritual life is incomplete renunciation. One who is able to engage his active senses and acts and objects and activities in works of devotion is on a higher stage, is situated above renunciation. So therefore, one continues to act. Krishna consciousness means action. But that action is not for our own senses, it's not for to fulfill our own desires, whatever they may be, to increase our material wants or our material situation, to better it, to improve it, but to improve our situation as the servant of Krishna. All living entities are parts and parcel of Krishna. And we have a relationship with Krishna as Mame Vamsu Jivaloke Jivabhuta Sanatana, as his eternal servants. So this activity done in the service of Krishna may appear like inaction or non-activity for someone who is expecting results and who is working for his own advancement. It may seem that a devotee is working very hard but not gaining anything personally, not getting a better material situation. So it appears to be inaction or useless action to someone who is bent on increasing the material facilities of life, better home, better salary, better job, better family, better friends, better world. And we'll see that Krishna consciousness means escaping into a world of unreality, working very hard to appear to engage in deeper spiritual rhapsodies or mystical experiences. That's that vision of someone who is materially absorbed by Krishna. But it's this action for Krishna, although it seems to be inaction, is action that is bringing about a greater result. It's regenerating our ability to progress, to advance in life. It's regenerating our energy. Energy is dissipated with every day of our lives. Every day that goes by, there's a description in the fourth canto, in the story, the allegory of King Puranjan, how the days and nights are like Gandharvas. Gandharvas are sometimes described or viewed as mystical beings who are invisible. So it's said in the Bhagavatam that there are 360 of these Gandharvas, signifying the days of the year. They're like soldiers which attack, but they're invisible, because one doesn't see or perceive the days going by. From the moment birth takes place, death is getting closer and closer and closer. So aging means growing towards death, and birth means the beginning of death. So time is going by very quickly, and energy is dissipating. Energy is very strong up to maybe 20 or 30 years, and then it begins to dissipate in a human being. But in spiritual existence, energy is regenerated. One becomes stronger and stronger and stronger spiritually. And it enables a person to engage in devotional service and deepen one's devotion to Krishna and one's service to Krishna up into old age, even when the body is weak, because it becomes affected by the spiritual spark, which is growing and growing. Activity increases and devotional service deepens and increases. So this action, in what appears to be inaction, which is not producing anything material, is producing the best result. It's producing love for Krishna, which is the goal of life. It's producing knowledge of how to serve Krishna, which is the goal of life. It's making us more Krishna conscious and preparing us for our natural life in the spiritual world, where one does not work and struggle to become masterful or to become the master of all one surveys. The spiritual world, everybody is very busy serving Krishna, singing for Krishna, preparing foods for Krishna, dancing with Krishna, taking care of Krishna, doing so many different types of things that are intimate relationships with Krishna, that are deepening these relationships. So our action in this material world as devotees is to prepare for that time when we can return to our original, natural, normal, happy condition of life, which is with Krishna in the spiritual world. Not this abnormal, temporary, sometimes happy, sometimes not happy condition in the material world. This is not escaping to a distant world for personal salvation. And it's not selfishness. Selfishness is to accumulate things, to want more, and to do so at the expense of others. And selflessness, true selflessness, is not just to live in the woods under a tree, wearing a tree bark or sitting on a deerskin. But real selflessness is to engage all of one's desires, all of one's activities, all of one's possessions. This is the ultimate service, the ultimate happiness, to engage everything we do in the service of Krishna. This is the only thing that actually satisfies the self. Savai pumso karo dharma. The eternal dharma of the living entity is to engage in devotional service. And it is said that only this can satisfy the self. Yayatmam supersedati. The self is hankering after enjoyment at every moment from the beginning of life. And this enjoyment becomes possible only when we are enjoying in the spiritual world with Krishna, or we are enjoying our devotional service here in the material world as servants of Krishna in preparation to return back to Krishna. Krishna's position in the material world is our normal position. Most of the living entities are fully liberated and living with Krishna. The 25% that are caught here in this material world are struggling very hard and getting more and more entangled, unless by the mercy of the devotee of Krishna they're saved, they're rescued. Actually, one has to be rescued by a devotee. One can't get out of this material world and get back to one's normal position. We can't do it by ourselves. We have to latch on to the devotee of Krishna, who has already liberated himself from this material world, then it is possible. So this is achieved by devotion. Bhaktyaman yamijanati yavanyashchashmitapata tattvam tattvato gyatva vishate tarantaram. Bhaktyaman yamijanati. By practicing this, the Bhagavad Gita says, one develops a sense of devotional service. By doing devotional service, one develops a sense of who Krishna is. And from this knowledge, knowing who Krishna is, we begin to develop a taste for going back to the spiritual world, developing love for Krishna. But Krishna says, I can only be known as I am through devotional service, through acts of service, through acts of love and devotion. Not simply platitudes by saying that I love God. But love means that one has to act. This is the action in an action. One has to actually act. If we offer something to Krishna, if we sing and glorify Krishna, if we think about Krishna, if we offer our respects to Krishna, that activity is the way our love develops, because it's a demonstration of love. In the material world, when we engage in an act of love, we want something in return. We want some form of protection. We want some kind of sense gratification. We want some things. We want to get something back to better our material situation. When we serve Krishna in devotional service, by worshiping him or by propagating his teachings, which is one of the things that Krishna stresses that he wants done, we aren't doing something for our material situation. And this will appear like inactivity or activity which doesn't bring a result. But the result is the real result. It brings the greatest result, because it actually brings us awareness of who Krishna is, who am I, where I come from, where I'm going. So Prabhupada explains here that there is karma. One becomes free from karma by devotional service. Karma means the web or the network of action and reaction. It means that we come into this world with a history of many lifetimes of sinful activity that we have to suffer for. Even if we don't do anything, we still have to live out these reactions. Or if we've engaged in positive activity, pious activity, we have a certain amount of good fortune that will come. When one engages in devotional service, all of this karmic activity disappears, and one is no longer living under these laws of karma. Karma is a higher order law of the universe, just as we see there are laws that cause the seasons to change. And there's the law of gravity, the law of growth and dissolution and birth. These are all insurmountable laws. It is said that the laws of nature cannot be overcome. Similarly, the law of karma cannot be overcome. We have to undergo some pains and some pleasures due to our past lives. As soon as the process of devotional service begins, these karmic reactions are nullified, and one enters into a direct relationship with Krishna. Karma is acting under Krishna's law or under Krishna's order as an agent of Krishna. But when we come to Krishna consciousness, we're no longer acting under the laws which are here to maintain the material world and to mete out justice and injustice, but we are directly relating with the supreme authority, the lawgiver of the whole universe, the controller of the entire cosmic situation. In the material world, there's a similar situation. The courts mete out justice according to their laws. But the head of the state is in a position to absolve or to intervene in the courts and grant, I think, some special dispensation. I think there was something here called the Sword of Mercy when the prisoners were being brought to the tower. If they could escape from the guards and run up and touch the sword of mercy, they could be absolved. Of course, there are many instances of the king intervening on behalf of someone who is to be executed. So Krishna is very merciful. If one begins the process of devotional service, a relationship with Krishna begins, and the laws of karma are cut away, and immediately one enters into a loving relationship with the Supreme Lord. And he is ready to and willing to not only forgive all of our past activities, which in our ignorance have been against the laws of Krishna, against the Supreme Authority, but willing to allow us to enter into the most intimate forms of relationship, and beyond that, to relish this relationship. Because the relationship of Krishna is the ultimate loving relationship. As we, some of us may have read in the Krishna book in the beginning, we're all seeking the perfect relationship. We're all seeking the perfect person to love. From our childhood, it begins. We love our parents. We want to please them. If we do something that makes them smile, we're very happy. As we grow, we want our friends become very, very valuable to us. And as we grow beyond that, we may want special types of relationships with groups of people. We may want to do good work for our nation or our community. But always relationships are necessary. Even in old age, one wants to please somebody. We want to please our children or our grandchildren. We want to see other people pleased by our actions. So we're always looking for relationships that are satisfying. Whether we articulate it or not, we're looking for a perfect relationship. That's the nature of human life. So Krishna provides this. One of the many benedictions that come from engaging in devotional service is that Krishna gives us a direct relationship with Him. And once one begins that relationship, all other relationships pale in comparison. At the same time, once our relationship with Krishna begins, then there's the feeling of love for all living beings, equally. Even those we don't know, even the dogs and cats and plants become lovable because they are seen as related to Krishna, as servants of Krishna, and we see Krishna within all of them. They're souls like we are, and they have a relationship with Krishna. They have an original relationship of love with Krishna. And they need to evolve in the spiritual evolutionary scale to higher and higher life forms until they can meet the Supreme Lord and live with Him in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, everything is happiness, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. No deterioration, no death. So this is what everyone actually wants. Everyone wants to be happy without any cessation. Everyone wants eternity. Everyone would like to be complete in knowledge. When Krishna liberates the living being and allows the living entity to return to Him in the spiritual world, He bestows upon him all these boons: eternity, knowledge, and bliss. These are the constituents of life in the material world, spiritual world, and Satchitananda. Knowledge, eternity, and bliss. So it's an active principle, always active. The Bhagavad Gita instructs us in this, and the overall action in the Bhagavad Gita is great activity, a battle, in fact. So Krishna is instructing Arjuna that you have to act. You can't sit and meditate. At least this is not recommended for this day and age in the Vedas. There are different processes of developing devotional service in different times and places. Especially in this age, when the Bhagavad Gita was spoken at the beginning of this age, we are meant for acting in the service of Krishna, because this age is very busy, very noisy. Quarrels spring up over minute things, over trifles. The 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is very wonderful because it predicts, like many of the Vedas do, things of the future. It explains that in this age, this book was compiled and recorded 5,000 years ago, people would get justice in the court only according to how much money they could pay. it was described that people would grow their hair long to look beautiful. It's described that there would be, over trifles, there would be great quarrel. It's also mentioned that the institution of marriage would deteriorate and relationships would be based on superficial things, that they would not last. And in the later parts of this age, of this yuga, things get much worse. The stature of human beings is reduced to 3 or 4 feet. There is very little water. It's impossible to find drinking water, or to speak of bathing. Bathing water is very difficult to find, very hard to find drinking water. The fruits become, the pips and the fruits become very big, and there's only a little bit of skin and a tiny bit of fruit around them. There's great scarcity everywhere. Human beings become reduced to savage-like creatures. They eat their own offspring. They become almost like beasts. And they resort to eating almost only grass. It's very hot all day long. There's almost no relief from the heat. And the lifespan is very short. When someone reaches the age of 20 or 25, that person's considered a very grand old man or woman. So these are described as symptoms of the age. After another 427,000 years, it gets very, very, very bad. So, in this age, because it's fraught with all sorts of difficulties, we're given the very easy process of engaging in devotional acts to Krishna, beginning with chanting Krishna's name. And if one can organize one's life in such a way that one thinks of Krishna, by having pictures of Krishna in the home, by offering food to Krishna, by chanting Krishna's names as much as possible, by associating with Krishna's devotees, by visiting Krishna's places of worship, by reading Krishna's books, surrounding your house with pictures of Krishna, burning incense, having an altar, all these things. One begins to think of Krishna all the time. When one begins to think of Krishna more and more, the next stage is that one wants to become a devotee of Krishna. We recognize ourselves, we think of ourselves as devotees of Krishna. This becomes our main identity. Who am I? Well, I may be doing many things in my life, in my work or with my family, but I'm a devotee of Krishna. One makes this kind of internal commitment. I become a devotee of Krishna, and I follow the procedures to become officially a devotee of Krishna and cultivate that relationship. Once one becomes a devotee of Krishna, one is constantly engaged in serving Krishna. One worships Krishna, and by this act of worshiping, we begin to understand who Krishna is. Our relationship becomes thicker and thicker. And as we begin to worship Krishna, we're constantly offering our obeisances to Krishna. Every time we see Krishna's picture of his devotee, we want to humble ourselves before Krishna. This increases our humility, and when our humility becomes more and more prominent, we're able to love Krishna unimpeded. We're able to love Krishna without wanting something or thinking that we're important. So this is all action in the service of Krishna. Also, one who is a devotee of Krishna doesn't work unnecessarily hard. Some people work 12, 15, 16 hours a day. A devotee works enough to, as Prabhupada said, keep body and soul together. But not so much. Because in the end, we have to, no matter how much we accumulate, we have to give it all up. So one who's a devotee of Krishna will save enough time in one's life to engage in Krishna's service, to engage in acts of devotion. Time is organized in such a way that we save time and simplify our lives. People are trying to simplify their lives nowadays. They want to try to get back to a more basic form of life, organic farming, disposable things. But it's very difficult to live simply in this age, in these cities, because life has become very complicated. We depend on so many technological advancements just to stay warm in the winter, just to get back and forth from where we have to go. But people want that. So if we start in the realm of our consciousness, making our minds more simple, our desires more simple, our wants more simple, our relationships and our lifestyle more simple, then we can gradually begin to make the whole world simpler. At least we can be more simple. And we won't have to work very hard night and day for results which are temporary and ultimately not satisfying. If we do something for Krishna, this will regenerate all our energy. We give something to Krishna's movement, or do something for Krishna's devotee, or in some way advance the cause of Krishna consciousness. That will enliven us. Our whole consciousness will become on fire spiritually. And this will give us energy and the intelligence on how to simplify our life and prepare for ultimately leaving this material body and going back to the spiritual world to live with Krishna. That's what life is meant for. That's what human life is meant for. That's the inaction, the material inaction that we engage in. We're engaging in Krishna's service. Materially, it's inactive. But spiritually, it's fully active, because it brings us that much closer to the spiritual world. Krishna is eager to help us. It's not that we have to go it alone back to the spiritual world and slave away, as we do in the material world, to get a higher position, to advance along the path. But Krishna is helping us at every step. Krishna says, Yayata Mampapajante, Tamstataiva Vajamya, Mamavart Mampapajante, Manusha, Partha Sarvashana. Exactly as we move towards Krishna and surrender ourselves to Him, He accordingly rewards us. And He gives us the intelligence, the Dhammi Buddhi Yoga. He gives us from within, in the heart, He dictates how we can advance, how we can move towards Him, what's required to do it. So when we make that commitment to move towards Krishna, He will help us. Krishna helps. Krishna claims to be Pitamam Sarva Bhutana, the father of all living beings. So fathers naturally want to help their children. That's their nature. They want to see them happy. They make great sacrifices so that they can advance in life, so that they can have a good future. And that is Krishna's nature and His way of thinking of the living entities. That's His inclination. He's always beckoning to come to me, please come to me. Unfortunately, in this material world, everyone is moving in the opposite direction. And Krishna doesn't force anyone, because He's a loving father and He wants everyone to have the opportunity to engage in loving devotional service. Devotional service means love. But when one follows that direction, when one heeds to the call of Krishna and starts to move towards Him, then Krishna is there immediately to help. And then real action takes place, action towards the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada writes, those who are engaged in this process are known to be without desire for personal sense gratification. So one becomes free from the actions of karma as soon as one is free from wanting something for oneself. Then the reactions are gone, and Krishna actually manifests Himself within the heart of a devotee. Through His holy name, we sense His presence, and through association with His devotees. So I'll stop here. I'll read this verse once more, and then we can have some discussion. Karmanya karma ya pashyet, akarma nicha karma ya, sabudhi mam manushyeshu, sa yukta kritsna karma. One who sees inaction in action, and action in inaction, is intelligent among men. And he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. Prabhupada also mentioned in his purport that those who think that God is everything in one, they are afraid to engage in devotional service, because they want to become one with or equal to Krishna. But the devotee, or the personalist, only wants to be Krishna's servant. He wants to engage in acts of service and be less than Krishna, be smaller than Krishna. Do you have any questions or comments?
Saying that, that immediately devotional service begins, karma is nullifying. Is that? I just wondered if it was took place before one actually accepted a spiritual master.
Prabhupada uses the example of the fan. Karma is like the fan or the wheel of action, reaction, turning and churning. It's always going. And when one engages in devotional service, it's as if the electric current is broken. Switch is turned off.